Dirty hands means clean theology. Can you dig it? What is going on, all my local guys and gals and long distance pals?
We're back.
That's right.
We are back. I'm excited today, as always. I love seeing all your pretty faces. Man, I just this whole podcasting thing has been such a blessing to me, and it's helped us grow our faith and get closer to each other, obviously, and you guys are some of my closest friends. So this has been an awesome journey, and it keeps going.
I honestly thought we were your only friends, but, you know.
That's what I was going to say. You're my best only friend.
If I say you're some of my best friend, I mean, come on. I mean, that could mean only. You don't need to rub it in. I don't know. Who's got time for friends when you're doing all this stuff, though? My gosh, the amount of time, Justin, I know you put into this. And Ben, I know you're always busy.
Always. Got something going.
You do. So I praise God for you guys and having you guys around. You guys are a blessing for sure. But anything new you guys got going on?
No, well, really. I'm formatting my book. I finally just decided just to go with Amazon, so I downloaded their app or whatever to format the book and just get it over with. I'm tired of it looming over my head.
Good. Get it out there. It's good information. When you guys get to a chance, when that comes out, let everybody know, obviously, and we'll post it everywhere. But the Epic of Esau will be awesome, and the information will blow your mind. So it's excellent stuff. But without further ado, when you guys want to pray?
Sure.
I prayed last time, big boys.
It's probably my turn. All right, dear, kind, gracious Heavenly Father, thank you today. Thank you for the many blessings that you've given us, because every single one is not earned. Thank you for another day above ground to seek your will and dive into your word today with our friends. And I say this all the time, because I am thankful that we actually do live in a country where we can freely talk about our faith and our love for you and the word, and to have these conversations. And I'm thankful for our guest today to take time out of their schedule, because time is life's most valuable resource. It's the one thing we can't never get back. So we are thankful for this guest to come and share her time with us today. Father, we just pray that you give us discernment over your word. We pray our words be edifying to you, and whoever needs to hear this message today hears this message, and we get something from it and add another tool to the tool belt. It's in your son's name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Well, all right. We are excited today. We have a returning guest. Just so you know out there, everybody, no offense to anybody else out there, we don't have a lot of returning guests, because there's a lot of people we like to bring on this show that we've met throughout time. So, Carrie, you're one of the few.
I'm honored.
but we have with us today Dr. Carrie Medej, and we are super excited to have you again with us today. Last time we talked to you, we went through a bunch of things, and we got some great feedback from some of those, from your testimony and from just some of your insight. And your insight spans quite the gamut. But all of it is to, you know, open people's eyes, bring people to the Lord, and share your witness. And I think that's just, I mean, that's what we're all called to do, isn't it?
Amen. Thank you for doing these podcasts. I mean, this is the way we can reach so many people, and it's not easy, you know, now. And the churches aren't, in my opinion, doing justice to the word and warning people. Really warning them about the real scary stuff out there. I feel like they're letting people down. I'm talking in a generality, you guys, not every single one, of course. But thank you for doing this. And thank you for being the men. Oh my gosh, the men rising up and being men. I've been praying for this. So this is a joy. So thank you.
It's a dying. I feel like it's a dying breed to be a man, because of the ideas of toxic masculinity and all these things that we see in our culture today. We need to have you know, men that are men of faith, that are men of family values, men that are raising the next generation up the way that that God tells us to. And I'm, you know, I'm trying my best to be that, and I know you guys are too. But I do appreciate that. But I don't know, Carrie, like, because of your, we're going to let this show, like we always say this, we're going to let the Holy Spirit kind of guide us. I do have some questions related to some of the things we talked last time, because the feedback I got was like, can she go into that a little more? Sure. Because it was so, when we talked a little bit last time, and I'm going to jump right in, but you talked about the, when we went into Iraq the first time, I think it was 2003.
Yes. March of 2003. I don't remember the exact date, but yes.
And we, one of the first things that we did is we started going for religious artifacts, relics, things of that nature. And actually I saw an article that came out. It was July 8th, I think, of this year, that said that the U.S. was returning over 17,000 relics that they had smuggled out of Iraq. 17,000, including a tablet that is called the Dream of Gilgamesh, that they're taking back, that had part of the story of the Epic of Gilgamesh on it. That's one of the things that they're returning.
Oh, I'm sure there's more juicy things than that. They're not telling people what they took. Oh yeah, I didn't know 17,000. That's a lot.
Yeah. I found multiple sources that cited 17,000.
Yeah, I believe that. I had, you know, since I was a little kid, I've had visions and supernatural things, experiences. And so since I was a little kid, I've been, by the Lord, warning about these times. So I was the weird kid. I frightened a lot of people in my family. Because, you know, I could read at an early age. I started reading the book of Revelation when I was 8 and 9, telling people about this, telling people about timelines. I was scaring people, as you can imagine. But this has been me. Yes, why do I do what I do? It's because I don't know any other way to be. I was born this way, you know? So going forward, on the day we went to war with Iraq, I had a supernatural experience. I was given a warning that kind of Pandora's box opened. I didn't know what it meant, but that, you know, we weren't alone. God always tells us, do not fear, you know, it's armies of angels. So it wasn't until I met divine appointments, people that were in the military, happened to be stationed there the day we went to war with Iraq, and they did admit to me that their job was to protect the antiquities, these museum pieces. But there's also the body of Nimrod. He's also known as Gilgamesh. And he's the guy that built the Tower of Babel, became jealous, wanted to kill God. And so there's, supposedly he was a more superhuman. He was very strong, great hunter. You know, he wasn't just the average human out there. But he also became psychotic, obviously, and jealous and wanted to kill God. So in his technology, I forgot. I wish I had this information written down, but the base of this Tower of Babel was huge, huge. So this was not a tiny structure. This was a magnificent structure, or, you know, I'm not saying it was good. It was just, how could they build that back then? You know, just like the pyramids, how did they know and how could they build that? There's some other missing link there. So anyhow, his body and tomb were being looked. So many Indiana Jones were looking after this tomb and this body since he was dead. Right? Nobody could find it until Saddam Hussein stupidly says, "Hey guys, look what I found." He announced it. I should have wrote that date down too. I think it was how many years before the war? I can't remember. So this puts a target on Iraq and Saddam Hussein, because this is very, very valuable information to people who know what this guy was about. So the day we went to war with Iraq, we had the Delta Force there. We had our best soldiers, and there's a big bloody battle. Now, who was it between? I don't know. I just know that we won. Who is we, right? And I do know that they had to drain water because it was like a booby traps there, just like Indiana Jones. And they got into this tomb and they found a lot of antiquities. Some friends that were actually guarding some other museum sites said it had to be an inside job because they knew they did their job well. And then the next day, all these antiquities were gone. Like, what the heck just happened? And they were upset, but they were told, don't talk about it. Don't tell anybody. Don't question it, kind of thing, right? But the Nimrod thing is they found something called a resurrection chamber, which that frightens me because I've never even heard of that in one of the pharaoh's tombs in Egypt. So some people theorize, and this is a theory, that it could be something like a Stargate too. Stargates could be maybe something, I don't say organic, but something where the ley lines cross. There could be a magnetic vortex where this is where we go into different realms. I know it sounds crazy, but by, you know, quantum physics, it's possible. And actually, we talk about it in science all the time. And there is a disclosure and declassified documents by the Pentagon talking about these things. So it's, they're saying it, they're real. So this one was supposed to be a special one in his tomb. Supposedly that was dismantled and taken back to the States. Now, there was a Wall Street Journal article admitting this. They since changed some of the writing. I have to find somebody with the Wayback Machine and see if they can get the original Wall Street Journal article because they listed all these things then, which was shocking to me that they admitted it. They admitted that they did not, well, they said they did not find his body, but other sources said they did and that he was a superhuman. He was much larger than life and that his body was something called incorruptible, which is not good because it means he was not decayed. And that means they have organic matter to possibly take the DNA from.
Yeah, he was in stasis.
Yes, yes. And so there are people in the military, some chatter that they did bring that body back to underground Denver. Now, so there are people there that I saw and I know that said, yes, antiquities were taken. Yes, the bloodiest battle, that we were only there for these antiquities. That was it. Nothing else. Everything else was created. Everything else was fabricated. That's all we were there for. Okay, this is pretty important. Well, then the Clinton email dump came out years later, and you can still look this up. Somebody put a Freedom of Information Act asking about not if we found it, but where is Nimrod's body? He might have called Gilgamesh, but it's the same guy. And where are the other Nephilim bodies? And in the resurrection chamber. They wanted to know those three things. Oh, other Nephilim bodies? I thought we just had one. Oh no, we got more on our hands. One is enough. So that was a shock to a lot of people because it was answered but blacked out. You know, real Freedom of Information Act, right? We only get to know what they want us to know. But it kind of proves to us, again, just like with Hitler going after the Spear of Destiny, the Ark of the Covenant, and everything else, that these world leaders, they know more about the Bible than a lot of Christians do. Mm-hmm. We've been taught that these are just stories. These didn't really exist. No, I mean, these demonic entities have been going after this stuff for a long time, understanding the importance. Now, the thing we were talking about before is they had something called cuneiform tablets, which is an ancient pictograph writing. A lot of them, and they were very, the U.S. is very interested in those. You know, this had information probably on how to use this resurrection chamber. You know, how did this body stay in stasis? And, you know, this is my thought. I don't have proof. Was that after this event, the knowledge of something called hydrogel and how to use it on the human body to reanimate, this sounds similar, right? Was just exploded on the research scene, I'm worried about it because it goes into what they're trying to do to people right now. And it's very evil. And if you ask the researchers or you try to read their research, they don't even know how this stuff works. So that means they were given the knowledge. And I said this intuitively when I started looking and I said, it feels like this like fallen angel technology. And it's a theory, but I feel like it could have come from opening up literally Pandora's box there. So in having any kind of organic matter from these entities, you know, would be quite dangerous, as you could imagine, on many different levels. And the technology that they had to be able to do that. Because people want to believe that they were in the Stone Age, right? And that's not true. There's a lot more technology I guess we can call it technology going on, because how do they build the pyramids? How could they do all these things? There was, and, you know, read, you know, King Solomon, how he was using, unfortunately, he got bad at the end. He had too many wives and he started using witchcraft, right? Demonic kind of things. Well, what if they were able to find some recipes like that again, you know? So, and then another thing is, a lot of the churches, they don't believe that Nephilim are real. They'll argue with you. But then you probably heard about the Kandahar giant in Afghanistan, that they found, not found, this guy, this giant with double rows of teeth and wearing weird outfit, incredibly tall. I forgot how tall, and so strong. He killed a bunch of the platoon that went out there, and they finally took him down. But he's a giant. He's a true Nephilim giant. And then, of course, the story is they took his body back. Great. Back to the U.S. We have all these Nephilim bodies evidently under the ground here. So what could go wrong? But why do we worry about all this stuff? Maybe it's just, you know, interest, and people think they have power, but they don't. But I think it's a lot more than that. I have been worried about this hydrogel stuff, which is sci-fi. And what that is, it's the mother term for a substance that is, it can assemble, disassemble, and reassemble innumerable times. Now, it's not life, so it needs a program, but still. And they use it under different names. They can use it for good. It could be in your body, and little nanobots can heal your tendon. It can do all kinds of things. But it's not being used for good. You know, they started to use some of that in the shots they falsely call vaccines, kind of experimenting around. But in the military, they started using it a little bit. So this is where we go into the Matrix movie. So you know how they downloaded a program so that person would instantly know karate or, you know, something else, or how to fly a plane? They started experimenting a little bit like that with the military. So they did it with some of the Black Hawk pilots, where they used a substance where they could download some information about the plane, but also this. So when they put the magnetic helmet on, the plane, or not the plane, but the helicopter, and they became one, the perfect fighting machine. So let's say the pilot, you know, was looking there and needed to turn there. This helicopter, Black Hawk, would know to do this immediately without the pilot even first making the move. So the brain waves and the helicopter became one. So the problem, though, in the military is that how do you shut that off? So they were doing great in combat, but personally, they were having issues because they said, okay, now we're going to take this stuff out of you. Well, it didn't work so well taking it out, because then as we got more smart, see, back then they didn't have a lot of smart devices. Now we have these things. Everybody has one. You've got 5G. You've got everything. Your refrigerator smart. So when that started happening, the messages started getting crossed, and they started to have issues of what was real and what was not real. And a lot of them committed suicide. So it became like a schizophrenic, right? So I'm giving you that scenario because that's the earliest that I know of them testing this kind of thing out on humans. It was not a good outcome. It's not right to do that. So Elon Musk now is talking about this stuff. He talks about something called Neuralink. Now, they like to give you all different names for the same thing, but the mother substance is called hydrogel. And he talks about healing paralyzed people, paralyzed kids, and he could probably do that. But he doesn't tell you the other reason that they've been wanting to do this, because it actually can meld with your nervous system if they want it to. And they could literally see, thoughts and memories are physical. They actually are physical in your brain. So it can go and erase a memory, rewrite a memory. What? Remove a memory. How frightening is this? Nobody should have the right to do this. And so it's my big warning to people about that. This is what I've been sick over since 2020. You know, when I heard that they are starting to use a substance and seriously talk about it. And someone told me that, you know, what could they do to entice people to get it? I mean, I told you about the, you know, people being paralyzed. They even gave me this scenario. They said, what if, you know, there's a lot of suicides going on, sadly. They're like, what if you could do a Neuralink with your child and they could feel how much you loved them and all these things that they couldn't hear. And then all of a sudden it got them to know that not to commit suicide. You saved your child's life through Neuralink. I'm like, oh my gosh, I could see how they were trying to pull heartstrings that way.
Hey guys, this is Steve from the Dig Bible Podcast. I really hope you guys are enjoying the content, but also the sound quality. It's drastically improved since I handed that duty over to the Handcrafted Audio. If you've enjoyed the quality of the show and have any audio or editing needs, reach out to Jason at thehandcraftedaudio@gmail.com. And as always, keep digging.
So it's a warning to people. If it sounds too good to be true, it is. And it doesn't replace, I mean, the Holy Spirit is, this is where we should be going. I mean, we could communicate with each other through the Holy Spirit. We don't need this synthetic stuff. So it's a big warning to people about this. And people who are promoting it, like Elon, he didn't invent into any of this stuff. He's just the face, just like Mark Zuckerberg. He didn't do any of this stuff. You can ask him how it really works. He can't tell you. He's just the face they put there to push all this agenda. But it's just to be on guard, because now he's got the ear of Trump. He's right there. And Trump's calling him the great Elon Musk. Ugh, you know? And that this, he could introduce, what did he say? It could be the something like the equivalent of the atomic bomb or something. I don't know.
What Jordan Peterson, he said on an interview that this new AI and this supercomputer that they need the nuclear fusion to power would be the new God.
That is right. Yep. And he talks about Memphis, Tennessee. I saw an interview. That was Jordan Peterson, right? Wow. Now it's coming back to me about that interview. And he said that might be the location of the new God. And Jordan was like, what did he say? Something. He was very uncomfortable with his answer.
He just changed the subject. He said, oh, yeah. Well, what about this? He changed subjects real quick.
See, I would be really bad at these interviews because I'd just be too blunt. Just like, what are you saying? You know, are you a demon? What God are you answer to? Yeah.
No, I agree with you 100% on those things. I think back, and was it Lucy the sheep, right? That was like 30 years ago when they first cloned the first sheep. And so if we had soft organic tissue from a Nephilim giant, and you're, through history, we've seen, Stalin's regime tried to cross women with apes. Like, you see these different things. I didn't know that they had. I saw that they had paperwork where they were attempting to. But
yeah, Jesse Ventura did an amazing documentary that's been banned from the U.S. I'd love to get my hands on it again. I have had a hard time getting it. It's called Humanzies.
Oh, geez.
And I got interested because it was in Georgia, and it was around 2003, too. And all of a sudden, this is when we listened to radios, and APB went out. They're like, there's this monkey that escaped from the Yerkes primate lab. Shoot to kill. People had their guns out looking for this monkey because they said one drop could kill you. Who knows what? But then I started looking at, they had underground labs, above ground labs, probably thousands of primates doing horrible experiments on them. And then I saw that they were doing the hybridization programs. And then Jesse Ventura actually found the woman that actually gave birth for the first time to a Humanzee. And it was a live birth, and they said that they killed it, but you know, they didn't. But think about a half human, half monkey. These things would be so strong. And I mean, if I'm smiling, it's not because I really think it's funny. It's my way of trying to process the evil that, you know, that I've seen and that I've read about, because otherwise I'd cry. So don't take my smiling.
Esau 2.0.
Yeah.
It'd be the planet of the apes.
Imagine they came from up underground. So Georgia's the biggest ones there. So that's so Jesse Ventura, if you ever can find somebody with a copy of that, I would love, I've been asking all around, but he did a series of documentaries. I don't know if you know this. And then he finally got really threatened to get really sick. He was attacked and he stopped doing that. So he had some good information there.
Now that will be interesting. I'm going to have to search for that one. I might have to see if I can find somebody overseas that's willing to send me a copy.
Yeah.
But but the other thing I was going to say is you were talking obviously about Nimrod and, you know, Dr. Michael Lake, who I know, was on and was talking. We talked about his book, The Shinar Directive, and that's all about his whole thing is everything is mounting up to Nimrod coming back. Yeah, he's going to be kind of the catalyst for the end. And if that's true, if they found the resurrection chamber, if they have Nimrod, whether or not they can make a resurrection chamber, if it truly is a gate, if it's a way to reanimate, if it, whatever it is, even if they can't do that, guess what they can do? They cloned Lucy 30 years ago. They can clone, if they have living tissue, you can, you know, we've had that technology for years, and they say that, I'm trying to remember what it is. I think it's every 5 years or 4 years, our technology doubles in what we know in the scientific community. So if you think 30 years later, what we're capable of compared to what we were when we cloned the first sheep,
absolutely,
it's very scary to see where that goes. So if Nimrod is the key, and I do believe that we are living in the last generation, I truly do. I think there's a good chance that every one of us that is sitting here talking right now will see Jesus before you know, our what our allotted time would have been prior to now. But you know, it's exciting and it's scary all at the same time, because I worry about all the people out there that don't know, that don't have the truth, that don't have the discernment. And I'm not saying I'm a perfect on all those levels either. I can get fooled the same as the next person on certain things, but we always have to pray for that discernment, those things, because it's a scary thing to think about what's going on behind closed doors. Cause we're talking about things that we know at least some of, right? We know things that have been leaked. We don't know the full gamut of things that are going on behind the scenes.
The stuff I do know, I can barely handle. I couldn't imagine knowing everything, right? Mm-hmm. But it isn't all about Nimrod. And, you know, they can, what they would like to do is upload and download consciousnesses. You'd probably know that, and then put it in a new shell body. So Nimrod does not have to be a superhuman giant again. He could look like one of us. You know, we don't know. I mean, it doesn't matter about the outside appearance. And then also, if they did clone, what do? They do this conjuring seance, right? Because whenever a Nephilim is dead, they're supposedly the disembodied souls, right? They're locked here.
They're the demons of this world.
They're looking for another body always. They just need a body to be inhabit. So it's, imagine these things together. Yeah.
Does it just become a vessel?
And you have the Petri dish stuff. Now I read an article and seen a video that they're actually growing brains.
I've seen
labs, living brains on a Petri dish, and hook it up to an AI. And it's like the Matrix, that this brain, they hooked it up to, or what they're telling us anyway, to a program to where, I think it was two different scenarios. One was a butterfly. It believes that it's a butterfly, and it just flies around and does all this stuff inside this video game world, but you can rent it. You can pay so much money and control this human brain that's hooked up to this computer. And then they also have another version of it that they hooked it up to paddleball, like the Atari original paddleball. And it said within like an hour, maybe an hour, 2 hours, that with no prompting whatsoever, that it just started hitting the ball back and forth and figured the game out. It's learning, it's teaching itself.
I saw in one sample somebody gave me, and this was the last time I looked at anything bad under the microscope. It destroyed me. I saw within 3 hours, it was just sitting under a microscope. It had formed a synthetic neural network in 3 hours. I was horrified. I cried, and I was in a state of severe depression for 2 months. Every time I would, I couldn't imagine, like, has anyone got this stuff in them yet? I don't know. Could this even work? I didn't know. I read about it, but I didn't see it ever. It was in front of my face. I saw evil this close. And then finally just started praying. And the Lord said, don't you know? Don't you know? Nobody can, you know, nobody can trick me. Nobody can fool me. I know everything that's going on. Don't you trust me? And then I started to finally just started to look at solutions and then became in awe of the, sorry, that's my dog, in awe of the how Lord created us and everything around us. I started focusing on that. And it is, it's frightening once you get into that dark spot. And I did, I for too long, I looked at evil too long. So now I look at what the Lord promises us and I read the word and I look at the positive things and that's where I'm staying at. And, you know, he's got it all figured out. His ways are higher than ours. His thoughts are higher than ours. And I know that he can, you know, the Holy Spirit can work through any of us in the body of Christ. We just have to, you know, make sure that we are ready at all times, keep the oil in our lamps full and ask for his wisdom and discernment. I'm always asking for guidance, wisdom, and discernment so that I don't get fooled either. Because, you know, any of us can.
I think I love how you said that in the way that if you go and think about it in this space, we can talk about Christian podcasters or we can talk about Christian authors, certain Christian authors. I'm not talking to everybody. I'm doing a generalization again, as you said before. So many people love to point out the problems. They love to point fingers. They love to say, this is the issue. This is the issue. But I love what you said in that is that we're supposed to be problem solvers. We're supposed to not, we know the issues are there. We understand there's evil. We know, but what are we going to do about it? That's our calling, right? What are we going to do about it? Are we going to expose evil as it says to do biblically, right? Take no part in the evil. How does it say that? Take no part in the, oh, I can't even, that yeah. Evil darkness, but yet expose it,
yeah.
Right? So that's really what our call is.
Yeah.
So I just think that's awesome way that you say that. I really love that that mindset. I think if the Christian church as a whole could get that mindset in place and set aside our differences, set aside the name calling, the problems, all these different things, yes. How much more powerful, how much more great would the church be in bringing more people to God? That would just, it would blow me away.
It goes down to fear, doesn't it? People don't want to say something out of fear, you know, politics, this, it's all about fear. And the Lord is very specific. Do not fear, do not fear, do not fear, and follow him. And we're supposed to be watchmen and women. And it even says that, you know, if you know something you don't warn, I'm going to hold you accountable. And I'm always thinking of that. I have a healthy, awesome fear of the Lord, like going, I have to say something because I can't imagine going up there and he's like, Carrie, you knew and yet you didn't warn the people. I don't care what happens to me. We have to not love our lives that much that we're fearing death because this is nothing because there's more to our existence than just being right here. That's the problem that people, they fear. They fear the fallen world. They fear what Satan can do more than what God can do. And that's what I started looking at, all the amazing things that are written in the Bible that God has done. The most, I mean, it's just amazing, especially the Old Testament. You read about these things. Like, he's same God of the Old Testament as the new one. And then I started walking in nature going, you know, they poison us with so much stuff, but yet we're still here. And yet nature still survived. That's great, right? So I started praising him, and I start looking at how awesome we are created. And now I'm starting to figure out and find out what they didn't teach me in med school about how our heart functions, which is a miracle, about how our bodies have structured water and how that functions. And then I don't know if I told you guys, I worked with some people. They looked at our blood, different people's blood under the microscope. you know, our blood is not healthy from different toxins. And then we did prayer, forgiveness, repentance, true with belief, faith, and then looked at the blood days later, and the blood was totally different with just prayer. So we're looking for this magic, you know, invention or, and honestly, the words telling us, you know, about how our thoughts are important, the words, there's that life and death in the tongue. And we just don't have that faith and belief. We've got to really get that. And I think that's where we encourage one another. The body of Christ needs each other. Because we are made in his image. We're able to do things with him and through him that we should not fear. And I expect grand, really grand miracles to happen and people to have supernatural abilities, not the synthetic way, but through him, through the Holy Spirit. So I keep my eyes focused on that.
That's awesome. It's powerful. It's a good message. And that's what, like I said, that's how we all should view things. That's how we all should, you know, in this space. I hope it reaches the people that really need to hear that and understand that that should be our focus. But
never give up, because people sometimes think the end of the world's this date. I've heard so many dates.
Yeah. All the time.
And then, you know, even says that Jesus Christ himself does not know the exact day, right? Not even the Son knows, only the Father. That's so crazy. I mean, we think we know the date. So,
well, jumping a little further ahead. I'm sorry. I also had, and you had talked a little bit last time, you had just kind of glossed over it. I wanted you to talk a little bit about CERN with us, and because I think it ties in to what we're talking about, actually rather well. And we've never on this show, we've never really dug into CERN. We just haven't done it. And there's a lot there. Most people know about that large Hadron Collider, but, we have one that's not far from us in East Tennessee here, over in Oak Ridge. So, which is not quite the same size, obviously.
I didn't know that. So how big is that one?
It's smaller, but it's still substantial.
I need to look that up. Thank you for telling me.
It's
interesting.
Yeah. It's not far from us. It's the same town where they did all the testing and development of the atomic bomb, actually.
Is that, how far is that from Memphis? Probably far away.
It's far away. Yeah.
On the other side. Yeah. It's on the other side of the state. It's close to Knoxville. Close to area.
Knoxville. Yeah.
Yeah. Maryville.
Okay.
Maryville, Oak Ridge area.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha. That's interesting. I have a funny feeling when I drive through there, because I do a lot of driving, I couldn't figure out what was that presence.
So are you from Tennessee, Carrie?
No, I'm originally from Michigan.
I remember that from last time.
You drove through there a lot. I was like, she lives around here? I'm in Georgia, but
I'm spending more time in Ohio, you know, doing some research with the water and all that. And you know, it's good to be in some farmland, around some like-minded people.
Yes.
That sort of thing. You know, in Georgia, it's a lot of stuff's going on there. And some not so good stuff has happened to me there, so... Yeah, it's time for change location. Well, yeah.
God will put you where he needs you. And that's
absolutely.
Important.
Yeah. But this CERN, it is crazy because it's 17 miles in width under the ground, Switzerland. I think it goes a little bit, mostly in Switzerland.
To little France there, I think. Right?
Yeah. And they're expanding it as we speak. So I think they want to make it 21 miles. And it's the fastest, biggest racetrack in the world because they're just making these particles called a Hadron Collider spin at such high speeds and just ram into each other. And the point of that is, in their mind, they think that they can recreate the Big Bang of creation. And they want to create something that they call dark matter. Okay, so it doesn't mean it's really dark, but they think that this is going to be the secret God particle, secret sauce, where life began. But really, what's been going on more so than that. And scientists have come out to say this, because they have over 20,000 scientists working at this thing all the time, is that they're able to, they believe they can punch holes into other dimensions. Now, the Bible talks about this, and we do know there has to be other realities. Like, we talk about three heavens in the Bible, hell, Sheol, you know, Hades. There's different areas, right? So yeah, there are different realms. How many? We don't know, but we know what the Bible talks about. And they're separate for a reason, for a really good reason. Meaning anything that needs our help, human, shouldn't be here. Anything that needs our help to punch through is demonic and a lower realm. What in the world are we thinking? We're not going to punch our hole into heaven. There's just no way. So only thing, something bad can happen from this. Now, the other thing is, so that's, some scientists were worried about this. Does that mean some people would like that to happen? You know, maybe some of these entities want to get out of jail, kind of, and so to speak. But the other thing is this, and this is what I think maybe one of the top of the list, is that I kept looking at, what does Satan really think he can accomplish by all this? Because he has a judgment. It's set. You know, the God does not go back on his words. We know. So how does he think that this is going to really get him out of it? And then I realized everything is about time. Time started at the fall of man, right? Decay started. And there's an end point to everything. And heaven does not have time. And the other realms that I know of don't have time. Now, I know hell and heaven don't have time. We have this construct. We have this time in our realm because of the fall. But there's an end to time. There's a beginning and an end. And when heaven comes, or hell comes, or both, time, the hourglass is smashed. Time stops. So there's a judgment time. So what if, and time is malleable, you guys. I know you may not have been taught that, but it's very malleable. It's been proven over and over again. Time can be changed by how heavy something is, by gravity, by electromagnetic force, by speed, by going east or west. So many things affect time. I mean, time is very malleable. We know that too, that if they were able to create, and it's a possibility, a little, they call it a little mini black hole, you could reverse time or make a time loop. And I thought Satan would want to make a time loop because he never got forward in his judgment day. And he would like to, you know, snatch us or capture us in his time loop. So I do believe they're making one, but that's the jail cell that's going to be made for them, like the Book of Esther. So what they were made for us to be stuck in, because they need us, because we're their loosh, we're their life force, right? They need us to be stuck in there, but it's going to be made for them. I fear, though, and it does worry me that people could be tricked and fooled into that. But I do believe that's the number. If I had to prioritize what their intentions are, is number one is about time. It's manipulating time. Now, it's theorized, and people have talked about it, could they have been messing with it so much that they make different timelines? I think that's a possibility. I know it sounds crazy, but it is a possibility. Who knows? What if they're doing something like that? I don't have an answer for people with that, but this has been thrown out there. Could you alter history or anything like that? I don't know. But I do know that time is very much malleable. I think we've had time wars going on unbeknownst to us little people for a while on both sides. I'm sure in the spirit realm, right? Angels, God's angels and the fallen ones have tried to manipulate time. I know this sounds so crazy to people, but we look at what science has proven. It's like, okay, this is a possibility. And you look at the word, God never goes back on his word. He always follows through. And Satan knows this. So he looks for loopholes, no pun intended. He's looking for a literal loophole in time. And I think that this is what they're intending. Now, nothing that they do will be successful, but I do feel that we are all given free will choice. And this is when we have to stay close to the word, because it says, even in these days, the Most High elect will be deceived. And that has literally kept me up at night so many times. And I have been on my hands and knees saying, Father, please give me the eyes to see as you do. Please give me your wisdom and discernment. Because, you know, we think that we'll know evil when we see it, but will we? It could look like somebody who's saving the country or the world. I don't know. I try to keep my eyes wide open. I stick more into the Bible and the word and more around the remnant, you know, as much as I can, the remnant, because we need each other so that we don't get sucked into the narrative or what the stories are being told out there. Because what is real anymore? I mean, who's on the TV screen? I don't know if that's a clone or CGI, or we're just talking about this with some of my colleagues that said, they're like, yeah, I watched this Sylvester Stallone movie and he looks like he's not the same. I said, he probably isn't. I said, they had Carrie Fisher do a whole Star Wars movie like 2 years after she was dead. You couldn't tell. I mean, that's frightening.
That part scares me to death, because at the point where we are with AI and the where we are with that type of technology, they could take you right here, looking like we're right here, and make us say whatever they want us to say. And they said that you know, you're canceled, you're arrested, you're this, you're that, because you did this, but it's not really you. It's just another tool that someone could use to, remove an issue.
Unless they just do character assassination online. They've done it to me still. Plane crash didn't work. So let's just try to attack who she is and make up lies. But this is where you just can't care about the world. This is the fallen world. It's going away. It's falling away. It's going away. Don't care about what it thinks of you. And that's the challenge where I'm pulling away more and more and more, becoming the set apart people. And you can't feel bad about it. We've got to live the way the Bible tells us, and we've got to stick together. And to me, it's making this world going back to Eden. However this happens, I don't know. Nobody knows. We all have theories, right? But God loves his creation. He tries everything to save it. Look at the ark and the animals. Why did he try all that? He could have just wiped everything out and started all over. He's God, but he didn't, because he loves his creation. And the other day I read the book of Jonah, and I never read the last part of Jonah, or I never saw it before, because I didn't know this in the book of Jonah. You know, the prophet didn't want to warn Nineveh because he's like, they're awful. I mean, back in that time, they were like cannibals, you know, sacrificing, you know, all kinds of sexual perversion, just awful. So he's like, they don't deserve it. So that's when he gets in the belly of the whale. Then he changes his tune, prays to God. God saves him. And he reluctantly goes to Nineveh, warns them, and they ended up all fasting for 3 days. Even the animals fasted. I didn't even read that before. Even the animals fasted for 3 days, and God forgives them and saves them. So Jonah, I never read the end. Jonah is not happy. Jonah is so angry. Jonah threatens that he's going to kill himself. I mean, he wants to die, or he just wants to die. He's apathetic, right? And so God does this thing where it's very hot, because Jonah doesn't want to leave Nineveh. He's right outside because he wants to prove to God, see, they're really bad. They're going to turn back to their old ways. So it gets really hot in the desert. So then God gives him I think it's a castor oil plant that covers his head, gives him shade. And he's like, oh, I'm so grateful. And then the next day he has the castor oil plant die. And so then he starts, you know, saying, I just want to die or whatever. And God just says something to him. He's like, why are you caring so much about this plant that you did not grow, that you did not put any effort in? They just came up. It just happened to be there. And then it dies. You act like you had authority over it, or you had something in, and I'm really paraphrasing here. But in the end, the Lord said, how do you think I feel about this 120,000 people in Nineveh, you know, pretty much whom I created? And, you know, they don't know their right hand from their left, but pretty much, I'm really paraphrasing here. He says, but I created them, meaning he never gives up on his children. He loves us even when we are so bad. So when I think of that, I realize, is this all going to go away like this? Or is it going to happen in a way that we can't fathom? Meaning why don't we just take care and become the original, like Adam and Eve were supposed to become, the guardians and caretakers, like we were supposed to from the beginning. And to me, the rapture, people argue about this. There's, in Greek, it means harbazo, which means to be taken up of the spirit. Doesn't mean literally to be taken away. What if, you know, we're still here, but we're transfigured? I don't know. I'm putting questions out there. So why are we giving up on this world? Why are we giving up on us? I don't think God wouldn't give up on us. Perhaps we would live very different lives right now if we knew that this is our home and this is what we're supposed to do. Is go back and he's going to make this Eden again. I'm just putting it out there. And then people say, well, what about the fire that destroys everything? And I'm just putting this out there. I said, well, the fire, just because we think of fire in our way, there is a fire, the holy fire, right? Holy fire is very different. And the holy fire, like back in the Ark of the Covenant from the Old Testament, was a foreshadowing of even Mary, because Mary held, you know, the God's son inside of her. What if, think about that. You can't be a normal person. You've got to be very holy and pure, right? Just like back in the Old Testament, to have the Ark of the Covenant, the Holy of Holies, only a certain bloodline. They had to be really pure priests. They had to eat clean and be clean. And just this, it was just foreshadowing even us now, because the Lord says a remnant will be able to, you know, when that Pentecostal fire comes in, that true holy flame, the flame that comes in, that to me, it's a blue flame, but it's a flame that comes in. But if you're not prepared, it will kill you. Just like in the Old Testament, some of the priests got, not the priests, but some of the other tribes got jealous. Why can't I be one in the Holy Holies? Why can't I? And when they tried, they died. They couldn't handle the presence of God. It killed them. I'm just putting it out there, is that perhaps we're just being purified and fiery trials. And yes, the fire comes, but what if it's the holy fire and it just burns away all the chaff, it burns away all the iniquity and burns away all the impurities, and it leaves those only the ones that have purified themselves and made ready for themselves. Oh no.
It is food for thought. And I'll tell you, when you go through Revelation and you look at, you know, when it says the, what does it say? This, you know, heaven and earth will pass away, but I will never pass away. And, you know, it talks about timelines. I mean, to the effect that there is going to be a new heaven, there's going to be a new earth, there's going to be a new temple. But you're right. If you look at how symbolic Revelation is and how many of those things are open to interpretation that way. And a lot of things in the Bible, a lot of scripture is that way, because you look at it and we know, you know, Jesus sat there and told his disciples like 12 times, yep, they're going to come and they're going to kill me, and I'm going to resurrect in 3 days. And they still didn't get it.
No, they didn't believe
it. And they didn't get it till after the fact. And it's the same with us and a lot of prophecy, right? We don't see it. We can sit there and have this conjecture, but we don't know until we look back and say, oh, that's what he meant. That's amazing. But we don't see it. And I truly think it's partly because of the veil over our eyes, right? We're not meant to see things until it's God's timing for us to see those. Yep. It's the same reason he told Daniel, you know, close this book up for a later time. It's not for this generation. So it's the same thing, that there's a time and a place that veil is lifted, and that we're able to understand and see what God wants, or what his divine will was at that point. Cause we won't understand things. Sometimes pain and suffering turns out to be that was the best course of action.
Yeah. But so. I just put this out there. I'm not saying I'm right. Please don't think that. It was that I started to think about it in that way. And that really rocked me in my life, because I'm like, wait a minute, I'm going to start really taking care of everything around me and you know, the plant, trying to make a difference, because I hear some of my colleagues and other Christians are like, just going to be raptured, so it doesn't matter. I'm like, but think about that. This totally goes against how God is in all of the Bible. He doesn't give up on us. He doesn't give up on his creation, and he doesn't want us to do that. So I only bring it up as a what if. What if we're just like, oh no, we're still here. Yeah, we're still here. We got to take care of this planet. We got to take care of each other. You know what I mean? That's the only reason why I bring it up.
Yeah, too many Christians are very passive because of that notion, I think. They're like, this place is temporary. Who cares? Let it all go to hell. I'm going to be gone.
Yeah.
And yeah, like you said, I mean, if we all had the mindset that, no, we are made in the image of God and we were given dominion over this place, and it does, it says that, you know, a new heaven, a new earth, that heaven comes down to earth. So it's like we need to be better image bearers of God and rule and have dominion over our realm and not be so passive, sitting on our hands, just watching everything just decay.
Yeah.
We can go down.
We're supposed to, you know, be guardians too, in essence. That's what I look at it, and caretakers. So, I mean, I'm trying to learn some farming things. I'm not so good at it. I'm learning. I mean, not saying we all have to do that, but I'm starting to pay attention more, work more with my hands, you know, doing
welcome
something
to the club.
Yeah.
That's us.
Yeah. And you know, you find more joy in that. We need each other. We can't be isolated anymore. We got to live closer to one another for a lot of reasons.
No, yeah. We could go down that rapture trail all day long. We've done a show specifically just on that.
I've had many of my colleagues not talk to me again because of just what I said.
That
was very disturbing. Disappointed.
If you looked at if you listened to our show, and I'm sure some people would, but if we go straight scripturally, the idea of the rapture is very. I don't believe that there is a true rapture. I just don't. I don't think the scripture supports that. I think
those who endure to the end.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The middle.
So
yeah. End.
The way I look at it is prepare for the worst, hope for the best. If God wants to take us before all that stuff, great. I'm all for it.
Yeah.
But I don't see it that way. I know we're going to suffer for his name. I know we're going to go through trials and tribulations. I believe that to be a fact. And I think that the rapture idea was brought up at some time in history through some doctrine of men that decided that just is going to make it sound like it's easier.
Little
for
11,
us.
12 year old girl in Darby perpetrated it.
Yeah, that's right. There's a specific person that started to teach that.
There's a little girl in Scotland.
Wow. I got to look that up again. Thanks for reminding me. But
she had a vision. An angel came to her and told her about it. So she went to her church's revival and talked about the vision she had.
Oh, so
and
just
James
like
Darby
that.
Happened to be there in the congregation and came back to the Americas and started printing all the Bibles, and that's how it kind of got perpetrated.
So that, I didn't know the little girl. So that's how it got started. It's crazy, isn't it, when you actually look at the origin of it? But I think it's a plausible explanation of the great falling away, the great apostasy that will happen. Because what would happen so fast that these believers would all of a sudden not believe? It has to be something so dramatic. What if it was some hard times come and we didn't float away? They're going to be a little pissed, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's what I think. I think it's to the point of a lot of people think there's a pre-rapture or a rapture pre-wrath rapture. And so if you believe that, then you're like, well, I'm going to be gone before all this bad stuff happens. So this can't be it. And then there they are tricked.
Yeah.
And at the same time on the rapture / calling up, if that does happen, I look at it as in, because Jesus comes in the clouds with his army. And if we're on his side, we're going to be pulled to join him in the air as he comes down for
that. I see that, yes. Because we're not going to sit eat bonbons on a cloud watching this happen.
Right, right. We're not going to do anything. You know, maybe he'll do that upload to where we know all this fighting combat stuff for everybody.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know. Sure.
Well, because that's going to be the Holy Spirit, because the Antichrist tries to mimic what the Lord can do and the Holy Spirit can do. you know, synthetically. I see that as like the synthetic superhumans with God's army, but we know who wins. But yeah, I see it the way you're talking about as well. So it's going to be interesting times, though. But we don't know the time, you know, who knows? But yeah, I also, David Wilkerson, do you know who he is? That he did a 1973 prophecy, which blows your mind away, because he talks, this download he got was what's happening right now, but he prophesies that some strong believers, they would be attacked by the church itself first, be persecuted, right? I see that. Because what if something like the rapture didn't happen? Some of the people would turn and they need to have a scapegoat, don't they? Oh, you taught me this? You still believe this? You're not stopping, you know, you're not going away from the church.
I think that's already started. I think that is starting it to some degree, where that's happening right now. The church itself, and we've talked about this a lot lately, and it's been a passion of mine, is we need to get back to biblical rather than skewing our views for the church to bend to the world rather than to God's word. And that's what's happening around the world right now, is the church is not following the scripture. They would try to pacify everybody around us by bending to the world. And that's been the biggest problem I see that. And we said it, I think last week we talked about this, is it said that I truly believe there was a quote from somebody, and I can't remember who it was, but he said the gist of it was the devil's too smart to take away Jesus, to take away Christianity, to take away all these ideas. He's too smart. We have the knowledge, the truth. We have all the historical references. We have the Bible. We have all these things. So what does he do instead? He makes a counterfeit version. Yeah. And that's what's happening all around us, is a counterfeit version of Christianity.
Yeah.
Well, he tried to kill it at once and it just spread like a wildfire. So he knows that won't work.
Yeah. True. He's going to pretend to be, he's going to come from the Christian movement. Yeah. Probably pretend to be one of us. Who knows?
All right. I got one more thing for you, Carrie. And it's one word.
Yeah.
Lobsters.
Yeah.
You want to tell us a little bit about what you've been seeing, what you're working on?
So I recently learned about lobsters. I didn't know a lot about them, never paid attention, but lobsters are unique in that the older they get, the stronger they get. They get almost more youthful. It's my dog over here. Sorry. They get more youthful and they can grow to like 120 to 130 years of age. So I guess they can date them, and they can get really big. They either die from trauma, someone eats them, or they outgrow their shell. So scientists have been studying them for a while, and in their blood, they say that they have healing blood, but they have a genetic code that allows them to regenerate and continue to still be good cells. So they're just getting stronger. So the thing is, with humans, we have a lot of potential, but our genes have been shut off a lot of times. We've been manipulated by toxins, poisons, probably frequencies. So we shouldn't be as sick as we are. And so like, where's that same code in us too? Well, so one of the scientists I know, David Schmidt, he was looking at the Hebrew words in Genesis 1:1 of the King James Version. And there's a certain code that people have been looking at because it's very unique. It's 777-888-999. It's a very unique code. So the code was actually found in the lobster blood, and you could translate it into light. So it's just like using Morse code, let's say. You can have Morse code and you can use a light to display the code or sound, right? And Morse code could actually even be translated even to like dot dash and like in writing. So you can have the same message, but use different means. So they used this numeric code that happened to match this lobster code, which gets the hot lobsters to be regenerating. And it was the same in light. So anyway, they're like, okay, this is really interesting. So they took the light code in nanometers and put two different plates on that. And they're imprinting water with it. One of the plates is with the code of the tree of life. And one is with Genesis 1:1. And so 45 minutes it takes to imprint with the water, because water can hold a message. Come here. Sorry.
I love it. That's hilarious.
So he wants to hear about lobster water. So the idea was that the water can hold a memory and actually gives us a message. So when the people are drinking the water in the first studies, immediately the body responded positively. Their heart rate variability improved, which is a sign of health. Infrared imaging, instantly more perfusion in the body. He's taking some water. No kidding. Actually, I think 12 amino acids were actually metabolized faster, which were all anabolic, meaning putting the right tissue back. Like, this is just nothing. It's just water. And it's still just water. It's just water with a message, water with light. The human body produces light. We can produce light, maybe not visible to our eyes, but we do. They were seeing that there was increased light output by the human body. This is amazing, right? And so looking at the long-term studies, they just did some early ones. He's very serious with this topic. They expect that it can be improvement to our genetic defects in our body just by using water. So I want to use this water with plants because we need to get the plants back to their original genome. They've been adulterated with glyphosate and all that, because God said he gave us everything we need. We have all the healing plants, so they're already here. Yeah, they've been poisoned, but you know, we can bring them back. And do we need a machine to make this water do this? I don't think so, but I think it's going to prove to people that need proof that we can heal the water on our own through our words, through our intention, through our belief, through the prayers, asking God. I believe that we'll figure out that we were always made in his image and co-creators with him. We do it out of loving kindness that we can do this. But this is the way we truly heal. He gave us everything. He created this world for us. He made us in his image. We truly have faith and belief. That's when we will see these grand miracles happen again. That's why we should have no fear. That's when we should do everything out of loving kindness, even if we're so upset with people. I've got to remind myself to pray for those that are evil too, that their hearts will turn. It's a hard thing I have. But I'm excited because a lot of scientists are coming forward and they are strong believers. And they have all kinds of things. We know that we can have free energy devices, and we can do that easily. We know that light can heal. We know that, music can heal, the right music, 432 hertz besides 440. With the plants, I'm going to use music, but the 432 hertz, because music, the plants love music. They've done it in the vineyards in Italy. Mm-hmm. And the plants are amazing. The wine's so much better. But you can use magnetite because the soil has been depleted of nutrients. So magnetite and copper already, they go nuts. All kinds of things we can do, right? We can have fun with it. And so then what you produce, you only need a little bit to do the same thing. We're used to needing big crops. We don't. Because we can get a nutrient value that is so much more concentrated because it goes back to its original state, so that we don't need the voluminous things that we thought we did. We won't have the pests and we don't need all of that. Our bodies know how to heal themselves of anything. They do. Cancer, autism, all this stuff has been induced upon us. And one of our biggest battles is going to get that true faith and belief, like Jesus Christ was telling us. You know, their faith healed them. The lepers, his faith that healed him. He didn't even, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, didn't even take credit. He's like, no, your faith did it. You know, the woman that was bleeding, she just touched the hem of his garment. And he told her, your faith healed you. He gives us this. We just don't believe in ourselves. We have to remember who and what we are, but whose we are. And that's where we can be like little tiny David going against big Goliath, because when they bring these giants back, we're going to need that. We're going to need that passion, that courage, because you're like, how the heck can we get through this? Because like the giant and the Kandahar giant, you know, the bullets weren't even penetrating the skin. But you know what? When we are with our Lord and we go forward with this passion and drive, he's with us, nothing can stop us. I don't know how this is all going to go down, but I believe in him and I believe in us, and it's going to be a pretty interesting ride. And the words that came to me, because sometimes I use my own words, where God's like, buckle up, buttercup.
I absolutely love it.
Yeah.
Well, Carrie, why don't you tell everybody where they can find you, where they can follow you and your dog?
This is Pepe.
I love it.
Dominican Republic originally, but now he's a he's a resident of the United States.
He's very serious.
Yes, he takes his. I think he hears my talks too much. He's just like, oh gosh. Yes, very serious talk. I have a webpage, carriemade.com, and my social media is on there too. So that's where you can find me. And now I'm spending most of my time working on this research. This water should be available to people that they can drink in their home sometime in 2025. I'm working with some other scientists to see if we have more accessibility for more people to have. And the plants, what I foresee, this is my hope, is that we can get them to be so concentrated that we can just sell them in tinctures or whatever for very little to nothing. I know the Lord will provide a way, and it's not about making money. It's about, you know, serving our brothers and sisters.
Amen. Amen. Yeah.
Lobster water, 2025, y'all.
Lobster water. I'll have to tell the scientist you like that.
He wanted
lobster water, but the people in the company told him not to. But
I think it's great.
I want a shirt that says Lobster Water 2025. I'm going to make a shirt.
Actually, that's a good idea. I'll let him know. I'll talk to him pretty soon.
Well, Carrie, thank you so much for coming on. Always love talking to you. Love listening to all your knowledge and whatnot. It really is. It is a fun time. And I know that I hope everybody out there learns as much as we do. So thank you again so much.
No, thank you guys. It's been a blessing talking with you. So, and we need each other. That's the big thing.
We so do.
Yeah.
Well, you guys, as always,
keep digging.
We thank you for listening to the Dig Bible Podcast. Questions, comments, or future episode ideas? We'd love to hear from you at thedig423@gmail.com. If you enjoy our content, don't forget to share, subscribe, and check out our Facebook group at The Dig Podcast. Remember, you can't lean on a shovel and pray for a hole. You gotta dig.